Foxonic.
Hey everyone, just taking a quick 15 seconds to let you know that my new book, The Fitness Mindset, Eat for Energy, Train for Tension, Manage Your Mindset, and Reap the Results, which hit the bestseller list within 24 hours of its release, is now available to buy on Amazon. So if you're looking for everything you need to get into incredible shape and the mindset to keep it forever, be sure to check it out. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is a Q&A, and I've pooled the questions from my Snapchat and my Instagram. So if you want to send any questions for the podcast, be sure to be following me on there. I normally put up a post saying, taking some Instagram questions or ones that come in through DM or on Snapchat. If I open it up during the week for a Q&A, I'll take some of those questions that I can expand on in the podcast. So BrianKeane019 on Snapchat and Brian Keane Fitness on Instagram. Okay, first question comes in from AshMass0 on Snapchat. Will fat burners make me anxious? Okay, so for those of you who've been following me a while, I've spoken in the past about my own issues with anxiety. There's a full section in my book, The Fitness Mindset, on anxiety and stress and worry and the figurative death by a thousand cuts in terms of trying to get your body composition to where you want it to be. If you have too much cortisol in your body through worrying, through stress, through figuring out all the bad things that could happen and just being in an anxious state where you have a heightened level of cortisol, it can massively impact your ability to build muscle, lose body fat, or just improve your performance on the field if you're playing a sport. So fat burners are a little bit of a catch-22 in terms of using them and just being aware of the side effects. Fat burners in general, and I assume from the context of this question that you mean the over-the-counter fat burners that you go into a supplement store and you buy them and then you just take the recommended dose for 6 weeks and it helps your body burn fat. Any supplement that's going to speed up your metabolism or help you metabolize fat is effectively a fat burner. I'm a big fan of things like L-carnitine tartrate, which helps push fat cells in the mitochondria to be burned for fuel. So it allows you to use your fat stores more effectively for energy. Green tea extract, the compound ECGC, which is the active compound within a green tea extract supplement that helps to raise the thermic effect of, or if it helps raise your metabolism so that you burn more calories throughout the day. They're considered fat burners, but they're not considered traditional in terms of their strength and the rebound effect and the anxious effect that you would get with traditional high-end fat burners that you buy over the counter. So I'm a big fan of using those, and I'll cycle them on and off during the year. Green tea extract has loads of health benefits on top of being a great fat burner for burning more calories. L-carnitine tartrate has amazing properties as an amino acid for helping support testosterone, helping with hair growth, on top of, again, being a great fat burner. But the over-the-counter fat burners that you buy that have a combination of different stimulants and different fat-burning ingredients can definitely make you very, very anxious. For those of you who read the anxiety section in my book, I spoke about the different foods and the different states and the different environments that I was in that would cause me to go into an anxious state, where I used to have panic attacks, more so anxiety attacks. I didn't know what they were at the time. And certain fat burners will do the same thing. During my competing days, and to give a little bit of a background for those of you who are new to the podcast or just into the podcast in the last few months, I was a professional fitness model. I did that job for 2 years. I used to compete in bodybuilding all around the world, and that's effectively what I did for 2 years. And I was using a lot of fat burners at that time. Like, I abused fat burners. I think I tried every single over-the-counter fat burner you could get and then some. And the truth is, they had a very, very negative effect on my anxiety levels for a couple of reasons. One, when you're constantly bombarding your central nervous system or your sympathetic nervous system with a stimulant, and most fat burners are loaded with caffeine and different stimulants, that's why they give you so much energy in the absence of food. it's going to affect your sleep at night. A lot of fat burners will have some form of time-release stimulant or time-release caffeine, so that that's still in your system when you're going to bed at night. So on top of being a little bit jittery during the day, you're also not sleeping. You're not dropping into REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep, where you're downloading your thoughts and everything that happened to you during the day. And as a result, you're going to wake up not feeling rested. And when you do that for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, that can have a horrible impact on your mental health and the anxiety that you feel. I remember walking into gyms at times when I was taking so many fat burners, and I just thought everybody was talking about me. I was getting really, really paranoid, and it was just down to having anxiety attacks. And it was basically because of my consumption of the amount of fat burners I was taking. And again, it's relative in terms of the amount you take. I have a very, very low tolerance to caffeine and stimulants, so I didn't have to take an awful lot. For me, it was a lot, but it was putting me into a very, very anxious state. So just understand that if you do decide to get a fat burner, an over-the-counter fat burner, particularly the stronger ones that are on the market, most get pulled after 6-9 months because they usually use ingredients that tend to get banned at some stage, particularly the most potent ones. But if you decide to include a fat burner into your regimen to help you lose fat, just be aware that you're possibly going to have a lot of side effects with it. One is anxiety, one is the lack of sleep, one is a massive rebound out the other side. So what happens with a lot of fat burners, and depending on the one you buy, some have different ingredients that are going to have different effects in your body. They're normally a combination of energy boosting ingredients, so it means that you have more energy during the day if you're in a calorie deficit or if you have a massive absence of food. There's some appetite suppression in there so that you don't need to eat, and there's some serotonin boosters in there so that you feel better even though you don't get that hit from carbohydrates or you don't get that hit from simple sugars, and they put in some ingredients that make you feel better. So you have to prepare yourself mentally and physically for when you come off that it's kind of like pulling back a string. If the further you pull it back and let go, the further it can rebound out the other side. So if you're dieting really extremely, you're training a lot, and you're taking a fat burner, and effectively all a fat burner does is it's going to help you burn fat if your training is good and your nutrition is good. You can't take a fat burner, sit at home, not change your nutrition, then it doesn't work. It's just a really, really expensive cup of coffee. But if you are training and you are dieting in a calorie restricted diet, or you are dieting in a calorie deficit where you're able to use fat as a fuel source, they are going to speed up your body's ability to change composition faster, but you have to prepare yourself that you may rebound out the other side. What happened, and what happened to me on several occasions, and they always say your mess becomes your message. And for me, what was the biggest issue with my mental health wasn't so much the anxiety when I was taking the fat burners, even though it did put me into a horrible state, but because I was starting to look better, I was able to handle it mentally. What happened was when I came off it and rebounded out the other side and couldn't get full from food, and my leptin or my ghrelin, the hunger hormones and the satiation hormones that tell you you're hungry or full, were massively downregulated, and I just kept eating and eating and eating, and then my face would get bloated, my stomach would swell, and my energy was just nearly at zero. I felt like I had to sleep all day. My mood was down because I wasn't taking any serotonin enhancers that were in the fat burners. And that rebound out the other side made me a lot more anxious and gave me a very negative self-image of myself. So if you know that those are all possibilities coming out the other side, then it's completely up to you whether you factor in a fat burner. Personally, not a lot of people coming through my programs use the over-the-counter fat burner. Some do, and I think there is a place for them. If you're preparing for a photo shoot or preparing for a competition or doing something along those lines, there's definitely an argument for factoring it in. But for the majority of people, you just don't need it. Getting into a calorie deficit, do a little bit more metabolic conditioning or high-intensity cardio, and then factoring in different supplements like L-carnitine tartrate, green tea extract, CLA for some degree for some people. Using those supplements that aren't going to give you a rebound out the other side that you can use long term and will actually benefit your health on top of helping you lose body fat is probably going to support you better long term. But in terms of anxiety and its effect on you, it very much depends on the dose you're taking, depends on your actual mental makeup. And as I said, just prepare yourself for the anxiety and the self-esteem issues that can come out the other side. And whether you choose to include a fat burner in your regimen then is going to be totally your decision. Okay, next question comes in from CJ1887 on Snapchat. I lose energy on days leading into games. I think it's from anxiety and nerves. Okay, so CJ, this is a really, really common thing among athletes. And it's called performance anxiety. A lot of competitive bodybuilders, bikini girls, GAA players, soccer players, rugby players, regardless of your sport or competition that you compete in, it's a really common thing that people feel they're losing energy coming into their big games or coming into whatever competition they're doing. There's a couple of things that you can do that can massively help. Number one is making sure that you have done everything possible to physically prepare your body to be at its highest performance stage coming into the game. They say, and one of my old teachers that used to teach me English would always say that you fail to plan and plan to fail, or prepare to fail, fail to prepare, prepare to fail. And that massively impacts people that are playing high level sport or playing club sport or playing any sport where they're basically feeling nerves coming into games. So if you've done all the work, one of the reasons that people come into my GAA Lean Body program, and I'll use that as a context for this answer, the GAA Youth program, the same. The reason that those players don't have, my players coming through those programs don't have the anxiety and nerve problem as much is, one, they've massively prepared themselves from a physical standpoint in terms of the nutrition, the training off the pitch, and then the support when I work with them through weeks by week, where if they have any performance anxiety, we're working on the weaker parts of their game, or they're working with their other coaches to work on their actual skill set so that they're coming into games feeling full of confidence. I know myself when I used to play, and particularly when I used to compete, the same when I was in bodybuilding, was there's nothing better than the feeling to know that there's nothing else you could have done, and that when you stand beside your marker or stand beside the person beside you, you know you've done more work than them. And the truth is, work and hard work is the only thing that you can control. Outside of that, all the other factors that come into sport, you don't have any control of, but you have control of the work ethic you put in and the time that you put in. So the first piece of advice I would offer for anyone on a performance anxiety is make sure you plan out everything that's in alignment with your goals and you work harder than the person beside you. As a result, you're going to have more confidence and you're not going to feel that loss of energy coming into games because you're afraid that you're not going to be able to compete or compare yourself against the person that you're marking. Outwork them, and you'll get more confidence as a result. Number two then is a little bit of a psychological tip that will hopefully help. One of the things that really helped me when I used to, particularly when I used to play underage sport, because I came up through the ranks through the Galway under 16s, the minors, that under 21 system before I moved to California. And when I came up through that system, I remember I used to get really bad performance anxiety before games, particularly the night before. I didn't realize that's what it was called at the time. All I know was I used to feel sick and I wasn't able to eat my meals, and I used to never be able to sleep the night before games. So one of the tips that I will offer here that has tremendously worked for me, and I offer that you try it and see if it works, and if it does, double down on it. It's called a distraction technique. It's effectively where you disconnect completely from your sport in the days leading up to the games. When I had Robbie Henshaw on the podcast, and he plays international rugby for Ireland, he said something very, very similar, that he has downtime the day before games where he just tries to switch off. This is very much reverse engineering you, because some players are going to be the opposite. They're going to get driven, and the more they plan it out in their head, the better they're going to be. But if you're someone that's suffering from nerves and anxiety before games, a distraction technique can work very, very well. So to do that, I advise you either get a show on Netflix, a movie you like, a series you like, podcasts you like, and you completely disconnect from the world the day or the days leading up to your game, particularly when you feel those thoughts coming on of nerves and anxiety. Your energy that you're losing is largely down to a physiological response that's coming from a mental trait of feeling nervous and anxious. So when you can disconnect from that and you can start watching Narcos or Game of Thrones or, you know, whatever it is, that show or movie or podcast you're listening to, download a load of my podcast or your favorite podcaster and listen to them when you start to feel those nerves coming on, and it will completely disconnect you from the game. And it's contrary to popular thought where people are like, no, I need to focus on the game. And you're right. You need to focus on the game when you're in the game. Because when the game starts, you need to be playing for every single play. Every moment's a new moment. Every play is a new play. And you need to keep your focus in the game. But leading up to that, some players find that disconnecting from the world completely, and some will even have music on right up until before they go out to warm up in a game. You'll see that with Premier League footballers and top level rugby players, where they're not even listening to what's around them because they know that the distraction technique works for them, and that's what keeps them mentally prepared, which as a result can help you physically because you're not going to be getting those nerves building up inside you. So I would advise trialing that. and see how it works. And if you find that your performance is increasing as a result and you're not being as nervous and you're not being as anxious, then make it a part of your pre-game and pre-day routine before big games and try and move your performance to the next level as a result. Okay, next question comes in from KevinAll90 on Snapchat. How can I stay in shape while I'm on holidays? Okay, so I'm going to use my top 50 program as a little bit of a context for this answer, because particularly during the summer, I had a lot of my clients and people coming through that program who were going away on holidays, and we had a strategy that worked tremendously well for the majority of them. And I'm going to share it on the podcast here for anybody that's going away, you know, over October, November, December, over the next few months. What has worked very, very well? And again, you got to play around with this a little bit and find what works best for you. But one thing that I like, particularly about holidays, is it allows you to disconnect from the world for a little bit. It allows you to de-stress and it allows you to go out and have a little bit of extra food, have a few more drinks, have a sleep in if you want it, and you can just completely de-stress your body. So one of the things that I do that works very well is the week leading up to a holiday, I personally use this, and I use it with some of my clients coming through my programs, and then others it doesn't work as well first. So you've got to reverse engineer you and what your mentality is like. But I know that if I'm going to be having an easier time on holiday, I like to train extra hard that week before. So what I would advise you do is start doubling up the intensity in your workouts or doubling up your sessions if at all possible, and start strategically overtraining so that you can have downtime when you go away on holidays. I remember when I went to Barcelona probably 4 or 5 years ago, it was actually more than 4 or 5 years ago because I was working as a teacher at the time, and I was strategically overtraining knowing that I was going to take a 5-day break when I went to Barcelona. I knew I wasn't going to train at all. I was going to have no access to a gym, and I decided that I wasn't going to do cardio. So one of the things that I did was the 5-6 days leading up to my trip, I started doubling up my sessions. So before school, I was working as a teacher. I went to the gym before school, and then I went to the gym again after school, and I doubled up my sessions and put myself into what's called a state of strategic overtraining. It's where you completely overtrain your body, central nervous system, and muscle, knowing that you're getting a longer break out the other side so that you can repair, and then your body's going to look better as a result. So what happened on that trip was we left on the Saturday. I trained 6 days in a row, doubled up my sessions. I was absolutely fatigued by the end and by the time we went on the trip. And after about 3 days in Barcelona, I looked probably the best that I've ever looked at any stage, including when I was competing, because my body was starting to repair itself 2, 3, 4 days in. It was repairing itself from the overtraining. My muscle was getting a little bit of a break. I had a little bit more food, a couple more drinks. And as a result, by the 5th day of the holiday, I actually looked the best I'd ever looked. So that's one thing you can do. It's called strategic overtraining. Something, and that's assuming that you know you're going to take a 5-day, 6, 7-day break when you're away and you plan to not do anything. On the other hand, something that has worked tremendously well over the summer with the people coming through my program was using an 80-20 rule for your nutrition while you're away, and then doing a fasted HIIT session first thing in the morning every day while you're away. So how that would look is if you were going away from Monday to Friday or for 7 days or whatever it is your holiday is, that you would keep your nutrition pretty clean during the day, and then every evening you went out for either a meal or you went for drinks and you had your free meal, had your drinks, whatever it was. And then first thing the next morning, you got up in a fasted state. If you had branched chain amino acids, sip on your branched chain amino acids, and you did a 20 to 40 minute HIIT workout, the one that was in my program, there's a bodyweight one in the program, and you did that workout 20 to 40 minutes. You can go on to my YouTube and check out some of those workouts as well. They're up there. 20 to 40 minutes, and you do that, and then you go about your day as normal, and you have the rest of the holiday to enjoy. That is something that can work very, very well if you do plan and you feel mentally better when you train when you're away. It allows you to have the best of both worlds. You get to keep your nutrition semi-clean during the day. You get to have your free meals and free drinks every evening, and you still get your workouts in during the day. And then when you come back, you just train a little bit harder for the first couple of days. You drop your carbs back slightly if you have to, and then before you know it, you're right back to where you were or even better because you got the de-stress when you were on holidays. So there are a couple of things that you can do. Neither is right or wrong or better or worse than the other. It's very much down to what your holiday is going to look like. If you know you don't want to do anything for 5 to 7 days while you're away, and you feel that that's what's going to benefit you, try the strategic overtraining method. If you feel, if you're somebody, and it's funny because now I've gone on several holidays since and I actually use the opposite strategy where I train in the morning and have my free meals. But it's very much down to however you like to holiday, if you like to train and you like to keep things clean and then have your free meal, then by all means try the second route. And whatever works best for you, then I would advise trying that for your holidays and using that for your holidays in the future. Okay, next one comes in from Tom Reddy on Instagram. What is your next book going to be about? So I've mentioned this in the podcast a couple of times. So I've already started working on my second book. It's not exactly a follow-up to The Fitness Mindset. So my Fitness Mindset, which is my best-selling book, it was 8 weeks on the bestseller list in Ireland and on Amazon, is very much everything that I use in terms of strategies with fitness and then the mindset to stay in shape. One of the reasons I wrote that book was partly because of my own issues that I wanted to get out there in terms of helping people with mindset, because of the things that I struggled with, anxiety, stress, worry, my life tips that I wanted to pass on to my daughter. And then the whole fitness section of that book is basically how to get into amazing shape. And then the mindset section is everything you need to keep in amazing shape. My next one's going to be very, very different. It's very much down to my GEA audience. At the minute, it's going to be something along the lines of my GEA Lean Body Program, but the book version. So it won't have the specifics in terms of exactly what you need to do for your specific goals, but it's going to have the general theme of nutrition, training, supplements, sleep, mindset that will help benefit you as a GEA player or as an athlete in terms of getting the body composition you want and improving your performance. I'm largely writing the book for the 17 to 22 year old me, because it was what I wanted. I wanted to be able to look a certain way. I wanted to be able to have a six pack. I wanted to have abs. I wanted to have good solid muscle, and I wanted to improve my performance on the pitch. So the book is very much going to be down to a GEA audience. So that will probably be out next year at some stage. So I would imagine between the summer and the Christmas of 2018. So stay tuned for that. And the fitness mindset, I will hopefully be doing a follow up to that book the following year, 2019. I've got a couple more books in me that I plan to be writing over the next 3 years. So the follow up to the fitness mindset will probably be my 2019 book. Okay, next question comes in from Anonymous. I always seem to end up in the friend zone. What can I do? Okay, so this one came in from a guy, and I know this happens with both genders, but particularly more for guys, but I'm going to answer it in case there's any girls listening to it as well. The truth is, what happens in the friend zone, and we've all been there, and for those of you that don't know, the friend zone is when you have a lot of conversations with the opposite sex and you hope to pursue it more, that you may potentially go out with them at some stage or ask them for drinks or coffee or whatever, and may potentially lead to a boyfriend or a girlfriend down the line, but for some reason they just see you as a friend. Normally what happens in this situation is the energy that you're giving out and the message and the signal you're sending is largely putting you into that friend zone as a result. I've had this conversation with girls in the past, and what happens with girls sometimes is they have the reverse of this, where they can't get into the girlfriend zone, was what I call it. It's basically where guys use them for sex or guys use them for, you know, physical acts or whatever it is, and then they don't call them again. And there's nothing wrong with girls partaking in that, of course. By all means, if it's what you're into and what you want to do, by all means do that. But as long as your self-worth isn't being tied to it, then there's no problem with you doing the same things that guys do. But it's normally down to a mixed message and signal that's being sent out. And I've spoken about this in other podcasts in the past, that you get what you tolerate. And largely what we tolerate is down to the message that we're sending out to people. The girls that, if you're listening to this and you feel that guys are only using you for sex or only using you for things like that, it's down to the message that you're sending out. So your Instagram, your Facebook, your energy, your vibe when they're present, the people you're hanging around with, whatever it is, you're sending out that message. And the friend zone is the exact same. If you're constantly there and being an amazing friend and not making any sort of contribution to, look, I may want to pursue this further, that's the message you're sending out to them. So my biggest advice to any guy that's in the friend zone and is wondering how to get out of it is stop putting out that message in the beginning when you meet somebody. It's different with your group of friends because you can't get out of that and you can't control what's happening within a circle of 15, 20 people that you hang around with. But when you meet a girl that you like for the first time, don't put off that friend vibe straight away. Don't be the person that's there and talking to them about all the other guys they like. When you talk to a girl that you like, as soon as she starts bringing up all the guys that she likes, you come out of that conversation. Because if you start partaking in that and try and do the friend thing and be like, oh, I'll talk to him for you, and then you wonder why she puts you into the friend zone, that's what's happening to a lot of guys. The same thing is what's happening to a lot of girls when you're getting put into that hookup zone, where you're not getting into the girlfriend zone and you're not being taken seriously. If you're putting out that vibe and you're letting people talk to you a certain way and you're literally reacting to comments and suggestions that a girlfriend would never react to, then that's what's going to happen. You're going to get lobbed into that bracket, you're going to get lobbed into that zone, and you're going to find it very, very difficult to come out of it. The advice I'll offer to anybody listening to this that's in the friend zone or in that hookup zone as a girl, which is normally just the flip of the friend zone, I think, in a lot of cases, is check the message you're putting out, check the signal you're putting out, and then stop tolerating it. And as I said, there's nothing wrong with guys going into the friend zone and being best friends with a load of girls if that's not affecting your self-worth and you're not worried about it. There's nothing wrong with that, and you can have 100 girlfriends, not actual partners. And if you're happy with that, by all means, go and do it. The same way as if you're a girl who just likes to hook up and just likes sex and just wants to have a detachment for whatever reason, that's perfectly fine as well, as long as your self-worth isn't tied to it and you're not feeling down on yourself and don't have any issues with your own body image or your own self-esteem as a result of what you're doing. But you get what you tolerate. So my advice is, make sure you're sending out a different message. Don't put yourself into the position that you can get lobbed into a friend zone or lobbed into the hookup zone, and stop tolerating that, because you're going to keep getting it. And the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So my biggest advice is, you're going to see patterns that have been forming, the people you've been hanging around with, the conversations you've been having. As a guy in the friend zone, you're probably having those same conversations over and over again with different girls, and it's leading you into the friend zone. As a girl, you're probably having the same conversations or meeting the guys in the same place, stumbling out of a club at 3 a.m. or hooking up on Tinder. If you keep doing the same things over and over again, you're going to get the same results. So my advice is, go back, take ownership of it, and realize that if you send out that message, you're going to get that. And if you keep tolerating it, you're going to continue to get it. And don't be the definition of insanity. Don't do the same thing over and over again and expect the different results. Okay, so that's everything from today's podcast. A massive thank you for listening. A bit of a random bunch of questions again today. So hopefully you got a lot of value on that one. So if you want more information on me or my programs, my Top 50 program or my GA Lean Body program, my GA Youth program, head over to the website, www.briankeenfitness.com. My best-selling book, The Fitness Mindset, is available on Amazon, The Book Depository, and all Ruby bookstores in Ireland, and selected bookstores in the UK. My Snapchat, BrianK019. And a massive thank you to Conrad Voxonic, who puts together all my podcasts. Catch you all soon.